You're listening to Mind Over Markets, a podcast on trading psychology to help you build a bulletproof mindset. Here's your hosts, George Papazov and Mark Borscht.
Hello, trade pros, and welcome back to another episode of the Mind Over Markets podcast with your esteemed hosts, myself, Mark Borscht, and
George Papazov, and I'm happy to be here.
We're happy to have you. And ladies and gentlemen, today's episode, today's topic, we're going to be discussing how traders can deal effectively with execution mistakes.
Oh man, these happen often. And if you're able to improve here, you could improve drastically, fairly quickly. I love this topic.
Exactly. So like Georgia just said, mistakes happen to everyone. All right. It's a natural process as part of being humans. Unless we're not humans, we're androids, maybe you won't be making any mistakes. But as human beings, we are, you know, bound to make mistakes here and there. And the thing with making mistakes while trading is that it can be extremely frustrating. Here's why. Because in this industry, when you make a mistake, that costs you money. All right. And comes with no surprise that money has a big, or rather, we have a, as human beings, have a psychological tie to money. And so losing money really brings out the emotions in us. Now, what defines you as a trader is not whether you make mistakes or not, but how you deal with these mistakes when they do end up occurring. Because like we said, as humans, mistakes are going to happen. All right. So that's going to be the topic for today. Let's go ahead and get started.
All right, trade pros. So we're going to be talking about mistakes in the episode. And I think what's important to realize is that you're not looking to avoid mistakes. You're looking to learn from them. So how do you learn from a mistake that no one sees but yourself? The importance of having a community is to be surrounded by people who make mistakes honestly and openly and are transparent about them, converting these mistakes into learning opportunities and future profit potential. So if we all are going to make mistakes while we trade, that's the reality of the situation. But if we're going to make them, let's make them together. Let's learn and earn together as a united team. Join our winning team by going to www.tradeproacademy.com and join our community today. If you want to get access to a free trading room, you can also check us out by going to community.tradeproacademy.com. We'll see you in there. We post daily and trade together. And now, back to the show.
Back to the show. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's go ahead and discuss what are some types of execution errors. All right. Now, traders, obviously, we deal with technology. All right. And so, the most common execution error would be what we know as the fat finger.
Oh.
All right. Now, you know, if you've been trading for any amount of time, really, if you've had any experience with live trading, you're probably going to have had made a mistake or two in the past. All right. And so fat fingers is one of them. You know, for the newer trader that might be wondering, what's a fat finger? Well, a fat finger is basically having the intention to put on a certain size. And what ends up happening is you put on a lot larger size than what you intended. All right. So, for example, something would be like an S&P trader looking to get long, say, 5 contracts. And instead of getting long 5 contracts, they get long 50 contracts. That's a fat finger.
And it's a fat finger because it's like on a keyboard, when you press one key, if you have a fat finger, you accidentally hit 3 of them.
Yep.
I think that's where the analogy comes from.
The fat finger, exactly. So you got fat fingers. You have got hotkeys. All right. Sometimes you've got hotkeys that you've got enabled. Some platforms have them enabled by default. You know, sometimes you forget about those. Sometimes those hotkeys, if you haven't really spent the right amount of time, they might be similar to other short keys that you might have. And so while you're trying to do something, you might actually be getting yourself into trades. And that was kind of my experience, you know, with hotkeys. That's why I don't use them. But we'll go on into this discussion here. Another big one is, I don't know how many times this has happened to me, you know, thinking I'm on sim, trying something out, and I end up being in live, or vice versa. You know, being thinking you're in live, but actually being in sim, having a great day only to realize when the broker statement does not come at the end of the session that it was all a dream.
I always try to decide like which one of those two is more frustrating. But, you know, I think they're equally frustrating. I've done them both numerous times in our old Discord channel. My nickname was Oops Trader. Oops. But I removed that because I didn't want to manifest it to continue happening.
Exactly. And so one of the big One of kind of the big discussion points here for new traders is that oftentimes you come into the industry, obviously with a lot of excitement. It's an exciting new industry. There's a potential to make great money. You want to try to do things as perfectly as possible. All right. And I think that, you know, from the perspective of that new trader coming in, you know, feeling like everything's got to be A+, right? With that, however, comes a little bit of added pressure, right? So you're going to be putting added pressure on yourself. You might get a little bit tense, a little bit stressed, you know, looking for that perfect setup. And when it doesn't come, you know, that gets you frustrated because I've been following my plan. I've been patient, X, Y, Z, and I still don't have an opportunity to trade. Right. And so the not the issue, but one of the main obstacles, I guess, for new traders would be to kind of embrace that mistakes. While, you know, they can hurt, mistakes are part of the learning process. And really, if you're not making mistakes, you're not progressing. As ironic as it sounds, you know, most often when it comes to mistakes in trading, that results in lost money, which is basically, you know, for most people, trading is the idea is to make money, right? So if you're out there to make money, but you're losing money, you might find that a little bit discouraging, and that can take you off of the right path. All right. And so some of the most common things that lead to execution errors. All right. Well, we're going to discuss really two kind of strategies as it relates to these errors, but some of the most common things that lead to making execution errors. All right. Mental fatigue. Huge mm-hmm. one.
Love that one.
Right. Mental fatigue, poor concentration, or, you know, said differently, distractions, having a lot of distractions in and around your trading environment, you know, maybe kids running around, maybe a dog barking at you, something like that. Another big one, not being prepared for the session. You know, it's not a quote for trading, but it's a quote, I guess, just a business quote in general. You know, not having a plan is planning to fail.
Yep.
Something along those lines, right? So being prepared rather for the session, very, very important, you know, knowing your levels, knowing where the market's trading at, knowing what you're looking for on the open, knowing what you don't want to see as well is going to put you in a better place to not make the typical mistakes that some traders do make.
I think it's fail to plan to fail. So there you go. Is the one. But yeah, I love that one because, you know, it's true. It's like, you know, you don't, when you hit failure, if you didn't have a plan, that's the only true failure. It's like, if you don't have a plan to compare what you did against, there isn't any opportunity for progress.
I like that. That's a big one. Another one, you know, not as commonly spoken about, just in general, poor skills as it relates to using the mouse and the keyboard. All right. And not going to lie, this one was a big one for me. Not that I don't have skills with it, but it was more so the short key settings on a different platform I used to use. And another big one is a lack of practice on execution skills. All right. And so this would basically be the equivalent of picking up trading, learning a new strategy, and just jumping into it with live capital, you know, without really knowing exactly how to use, you know, for us, the depth of market, whatever platform you use, whatever asset you trade, just basically having a good understanding of how to navigate your order placement tools, you know, whether it's a DOM, whether it's just a separate program within the software, it's knowing how to be able to navigate through that, especially when things go wrong, which doesn't happen often, but the seldom times that they do happen can really kind of wipe you out. All right. And so this is the importance of the discussion today, is because mistakes are going to happen, and it really depends on you and how you react to them, which is really going to be determining whether you find success in this industry, you stick around for the long term, or whether it's a quick in and out. Thanks for playing. See you later.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, lack of preparation. There's really no excuse for it. Right. Like anywhere in our life where we want to achieve greatness, we spend a lot of time preparing for things. Like, think about how hard people prepare to get a job. They go to university for 4 years, right? When they get an interview, think about how hard they prepare there. I mean, if you're successfully getting jobs, you've done this. If you're not, you know, maybe being prepared is something that comes as a shock to you. But we prepare for everything else. And I think this goes to community again, Mark. It's like, we prepare for everything else, but when we're trading, because it's an individual sport, it's like tennis, mm-hmm. the performance wise, you know, it's all you that's doing the clicking. We think that we don't have to be prepared because nobody's watching. Everywhere else we go to interview, somebody's judging us. You know, school tests are being marked. You know, relationship, there's expectations. People have judgments. But in trading, it isn't that those things don't exist. It's just that they're easy to hide and conceal. And so I think this is why people make the assumption, if I'm not prepared, nobody's going to see. Let me just go with the flow off the cuff. And like anything that's a profession, you don't want to do off the cuff. Doctor, you know, exactly. Dentist. You know, I made a joke with my dentist when I went a couple weeks ago. I'm like, she was doing a crown fitting for me. I'm like, oh, this is cool. This seems pretty easy. I watched a YouTube video. Your turn, sit in the chair. And she laughed. She's like, no, thank you.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you kind of mentioned the fact that individuals, even in what I kind of want to bring up here is the idea of the individual sports. You know, you kind of mentioned individual sport like tennis. And it got me thinking, you know, how community is important because even in individual sports, you know, those athletes still have a community. You know, they've got right. their coaches. They've got, you know, as it relates to tennis, they've got their coach. You know, some of the other, like golf, for example, they have their caddies that they talk yeah. to. Then they got their own coaches, you know, driving coaches, chipping coaches, putting coaches, etc. So you don't see it, but there's still a community there. And I think community is a huge, huge benefit for a lot of traders because mistakes are going to happen. And another benefit of the community as it relates to making mistakes is accountability, right? You're able to find somebody or, you know, several people, a number of people to be accountable with, right? So when you make those mistakes, even before you make the mistakes, rather, you kind of second guess, not second guess, but you check things over, you know, you mm-hmm. double check things before you do it. You know,
for sure.
when you sit down at your station, you know, if I'm going to be taking along, make sure my contract settings are set appropriately. You know, if you're doing individual lots and layering them on, make sure the quantity set to one, not, you know, four or five, so that normally if you're getting long four, instead your contract setting might be on three. Now, instead of getting long four, you know, you're going to be getting long more, 12, if my math is right.
Yeah, I love that. You know, I just want to bring it back to the tennis thing, Mark, because this is really interesting. It's like, I think when I mentioned that individual thing and then you unpacked it saying, hey, there's still a team involved.
Yeah.
You know, it's the performance as individual that you see on TV. But how many times do we talk about like comparing trading to athletes? You know, the game is like 5% of the work. And I think trading is the same thing. 5% of the work is actually being in front of the monitor. The other stuff is, you know, off camera.
Exactly.
If we could use the analogy. So that's really cool because it's like where we are today is the cumulative net sum of every person we met, every conversation we've had, every opinion we've taken in, you know, so whether you like it or not, you know, nothing you do is individual. And, you know, to me, that was kind of like the beginning awakening of my spiritual journey where I realized that because I was not ego, but I was confident. And I was like, you know, screw it. I don't need anybody. I'll do this myself.
Yeah.
But then as I started to like dive deeper into that, you know, mainly Buddhism, which is the first kind of real religion, I guess you will, that I ever dug into. I mean, my mom used to bring me to church, but I always hated it. It's like, why do we have to go? I'd rather play basketball outside with my friends and get in trouble. So anyways, I think this is the opportunity in trading too, is like the journey within yourself. We think trading is so outward, but it's all within you.
Yeah, that's a big point. That's a big point to bring up, right? So, you know, what we're getting at here is mistakes are going to happen. It's great to have a community to kind of keep yourself accountable and have, I don't know what the right word, it's not venting. You don't want to vent to people, but
sounding board.
Sounding board. That's a great word.
It's two words.
Grammar police here. Sorry guys, I gotta deal with this grammar police. It's a violation here. I'm just getting a note. What is this, citation?
Yeah. I got my ticket booked.
There you go. I got ticket booked. All right, guys. So this is coming at the cost of lunch for me here. So, you know, as it relates to dealing with mistakes effectively, we kind of went through some of the common mistakes, you know, fat fingering trades, setting up hotkeys. You know, I'll give you an example of something that happened for me. And then we can kind of go through the two main areas to focus on as it relates to dealing with mistakes, because it's effectively how to prevent it from happening and then how to recover if it does happen. So those are really the two areas. There you go. There's a little, what's it called, a teaser or a spoiler alert, right? But what I want to discuss about my own experience, you know, was with hotkeys, right? So it was back when we were using a platform. It's no longer around. And my short key settings that I didn't realize at the time were the same hotkeys as my settings to scale a chart, zoom in and out of a chart.
Oh.
So I remember this was basically, what is it, initiation by fire. It was, I think, my first or second week trading futures live. And I had these hotkeys enabled. I was pre-market, doing my pre-market zones and everything, and I was zooming out on the chart, and the chart wasn't moving, but my DOM, I saw it on the top of the screen. I was entering shorts. So I was short five. I think it was NASDAQ or ES, pre-market.
I remember this. This was in our old office.
Yeah.
I remember
this specific moment. Old office at this point.
Yeah.
Old wow. office. So at that point, you know, it was short key setting. So I was basically short five naked right in front of the US bell, like 928, 929. And I didn't realize it until pretty much a couple of seconds after the opening bell that I was actually short some. I was like, why is my DOM like showing an actual a loss? I'm like, I haven't put on any trades yet. Nope. There was a trade on for five. And really, that was my initiation by fire. I flattened it right away. It ended up costing me some, you know, it wasn't a crazy amount, but it was enough for me to learn the hard lesson, you know, that if you're going to have hotkeys, they should not be anything similar to any other hotkeys you have for your computer. So that was kind of my initiation by fire. And, you know, the lessons I learned from that, you know, first and foremost, always make sure if you have hotkeys that, you know, it's try not to be something super complicated, but also try not to be something that's similar to what you've got on for other things like separate hotkeys, like Control C is to copy.
Yeah,
I know I have Control C. I think I've got my pen tool, the Epic pen tool, as something like that. So if I'm, for example, doing some moderating in the morning, I'm drawing out some levels, and then I want to go click on the DOM to put on a trade. This is another thing that has happened to me in prior sessions. Was I had a trade on, I put on the pen tool, so I was showing the team kind of what I'm doing, and then I'm trying to get at flatten this trade, and I got my pen tool's drawing on my DOM, not getting me out of the position. So little things like that, right, is execution errors. You know, whether it's fat fingering or not having the right hotkey set, these are all things that can lead to mistakes, that can lead to money being lost, and that can ultimately lead to frustration and you know, emotional trading. Because at the end of the day, whether you're a new trader or an experienced trader, you know, losses still hurt. You can't completely, you know, phase out a loss, regardless of how long you've been in this industry. Sure, you can kind of numb it, but it's still going to be there. And there's a certain amount of self-discipline you need to have to prevent yourself from getting into that cycle of getting emotional about, man, I shouldn't have had this mistake. And then all of a sudden you're out in the market chasing emotional trades, trying to make up for that loss. Right. And so I remember that day. What did I do? I remember that day I took the initial loss on, you know, the five lots on the open. I was down a little bit pre-market. I said, you know what? I had planned to take three or four good trades today. I've already eaten, you know what, pre-open. I'm going to give myself one or two more opportunities, right? So my initial thing was, you know what? This sucks, but it is what it is. And going forward, I had this plan, you know, this happened, so I'm going to reduce my risk by only taking one or two good trades today. And I don't remember how that day went, but
oh man,
I'm still here.
I was waiting for you to close the loop. I was like,
I'm still
okay,
here.
This is getting to something good.
I'm still here, so that's what matters.
So yeah, Marky, I got some experience with hotkeys too. I'm like the hotkey king. Mm. At one point, I'm going to ditch my keyboard. I just want to hotkey everything. Some tips for, I mean, this isn't the episode to do it, I guess, but some really quick tips for hotkeys. Fire the keys that you set for your trading without your trading platform on. Because if you have shortcut keys set for your trading and your platform's off and you fire them and something comes up or happens, it's not, there's conflict there. The other thing I'll give you as a tip quickly is to use as many keys as possible for your trading one. So like my flatten and cancel is Control Shift Alt X. And then my well, if actually flatten cancels the nuke button, control shift alt end. But the reason I don't remember them isn't because I use them or don't use them. It's because I use them a lot, and I'll tell you why. And tip number three, I have this device called the Stream Deck. And so instead of remembering hotkeys, because sometimes when you have too many, you're like, oh, is it C, is it B? And then you inevitably do the fat finger mistake on the hotkeys.
Yeah.
What you do is you get this device called the Stream Deck, designed for streamers. So, you know, you're not going to be using all the functionality. But what it does is it codes it on a button, and you hit the button, and it fires the shortcut key. And then you could have a picture to remind you what it is. So I would recommend, if you're doing hotkey trading, to really take it a step further, just putting it in your keyboard and hoping it works leads to ask me how I know issues.
Exactly. So, you know, we kind of already discussed or briefly overviewed the two key approaches that, you know, professional traders take. But before we kind of jump into those, let's just have a quick look at what the new or inexperienced trader does when mistakes happen. All right. Oftentimes, you know, not always, there are your seldom examples of highly disciplined new traders. But what often happens, all right, when somebody makes a mistake in the markets, they point externally, right? They point the finger at something. It's, oh, my computer is this. Oh, the market is this. You know, the broker's after my stops, you know, reason X, Y, Z. And they play the victim. Honestly, it's the victim card. And then guess what? They don't really take anything from it. They don't learn any lessons from the mistake, because guess what? It wasn't their fault, you know, pointing externally. And then they go out and try to make the money back, all right, and try to make that money back. But now it's they're trying to do it emotionally, right? Because yeah, that emotional trigger of making the mistake and seeing that negative balance in the account brings out the desire to get back to green, all right, and to recover those losses. And, you know, 9 times out of 10, that's not done from an objective state. That is done from a lack state, an emotional state. And that is what leads to problems, right? That's what leads to people blowing the accounts. You know, I've been there myself throughout the journey. You have a good day. The day might not be going the way you want it to, or you might not have anything on the day. You make a mistake. You know, that first trade ends up being red. Now you're chasing your tail, trying to get it back. And if the market conditions aren't right for, you know, the type of recovery you're looking to make, likely to be a digger hole that you're digging for yourself. All right. So going, you know, looking forward now to the approaches that professionals take. All right.
Can I just mention one thing before we move on? I love this one saying that when you point the finger, there's three pointing back at you. And I'll, you know, because the thumb, if the thumb's pointing back, yeah, then you're probably double jointed. That's kind of cool.
You grammar policed me, so I had to make sure it checks out.
Looks like we're throwing gang signs here in the studio, but like if you point one finger, there's three pointing back. And if everyone else is at fault for what's going on with your performance, think about what you're saying. You're saying that everyone else is responsible for your result. And the cool thing about that is that if everyone else is responsible for your result, what are you doing? Like, think about this as an organization. If you had a business and there was, like, you know, Mistake Michelle on the left, and then there was a Mistake Michelle does mistakes the whole time. Sorry, Michelle, it's not you, if you're listening to the podcast.
I thought it was going
to
be Mistake Mark. No, fortunately, Michelle got the short end of the stick.
Dodge that bullet. Mistake Michelle. I don't want to bestow that upon you. So Mistake Michelle making mistakes in an organization, but every time she makes a mistake, she, with the right attitude, she comes back stronger. Right. And there's one person who isn't making mistakes, which probably means they're not doing anything. Right. And so if you're trading and you're blaming, if you're outsourcing your mistakes, if you're outsourcing the responsibility for the trading, then you're not trading. What are you good for? Right. Why are you there? You're taking up, I mean, this is kind of cold, but you're taking up space. You're dead weight within an organization. Yep. And so, like, this organizations like Google, you know, all these new tech companies that have, I would say, emerging, Google's been around extremely long time. I'm old. So all these new tech things that are emerging, their culture is make mistakes but learn from them. Yeah. Right. And so that's the idea. I just wanted to kind of put that analogy out there, that if everyone else is responsible for your performance, you're actually not needed.
Wow. That's some insightful stuff right there, ladies and gentlemen. That's why we tune in.
This dip is great.
That's why we tune in.
Yeah.
All right. So let's break down now those two areas that we want to focus on as, you know, professional traders, as it relates to dealing with mistakes. So I kind of mentioned, you know, the two areas before. Is that a question?
No, I just raised the mic. I'm sorry. miscommunication. Yeah.
The first miscommunication in person.
So in 77 episodes? Whatever this is going to be?
This is going to be 75.
Wowzers.
Right?
So there you go. We just made a mistake on the podcast talking about mistakes.
So how do we deal with it? We're not going to be here, you know, oh no, we can't. We have to redo this episode. You deal with it. All right.
Well,
so,
it was your fault because you're the...
I see where this is going.
I'm just kidding. Hey, you know what? In communication, when there's a miscommunication, people say, who's at fault? And most people say 50-50, but it's actually both are at 100% at fault because miscommunication happened.
200%. Bam. So let's get back on track here. So create preventative measures to avoid making the same mistake twice, right? It's going to be a play on a quote, but there was the, you know, fool me once. Shame on me, fool me twice. Kind of the same thing with making these mistakes.
You can't get fooled again. George Bush moment. It was actually hilarious.
So kind of on that wavelength is, you know, make the mistake once, shame on you. Make the mistake twice. I mean, the shame is going to be on you the whole time if you do it more than once. All right. That's kind of what I'm trying to get at. So preventative measures. How can you, you know, put yourself in a position where you are able to, again, you won't be able to stop or prevent all of the mistakes from happening, but you can do a good job at preventing a majority of them from going down, right? I often tell people, you know, when they ask me what I do as it relates to trading, you know, what do you do on a daily basis? And I literally tell them, on a daily basis, my job is to not shoot myself in the foot, right? If I don't shoot myself in the foot, I'm going to have a good day. And so that kind of relates to this as far as preventative measures, all right? Trying not to shoot, putting things in place, putting layers in place to prevent yourself from shooting yourself in the foot. How to do that? Here's how. Number one, you know, build your execution skills by practicing and mastering your execution tools in the platform that you're going to be trading with. And this is all done through the demo account, all right? You know, people will have their opinions on what they should do in demo, how long they should stick around. You know, my opinion, I think our opinion here collectively is that demo really should only be used for you to build experience with the platform you're going to be using, right? So it shouldn't be about, all right, I found this strategy. I'm going to test this strategy out for 6 months and see how it goes. You know, you shouldn't be spending that long in demo. We did do an episode on why demo results don't matter. That was probably 60 or 17 or 18 in the list of the episodes.
How did you remember that?
Because I do work here, fam. Because I do work here.
All right, that's fair. I haven't been right? this fair.
And so I wish I could say eidetic memory, but nowhere near that. But yeah, so you don't want to be spending a whole bunch of time in demo, you know, giving yourself a false sense of confidence about a strategy, because the reality is, your demo results are going to be a lot different than the results you're going to have when you're in live market conditions. So that's why we don't really expect or, you know, recommend people spend really more than about a month in demo, because the real focus or the real goal of the simulated trading is to get experience with, you know, executing. All right. So to relate it back to the Dom for us, because, you know, we're primarily futures traders, at least George and myself. Right. So on the DOM. So what you want to do is, you know, for example, we use, I'm not going to mention the platform. So one of the platforms we use, I mean, all platforms have a simulated, most of them should have a simulated market environment where you can basically trade as if you're doing it in real time without the risk of, you know, live capital funds. And so what you want to do on this platform is you want to essentially put yourself in all different types of situations so that if it were to occur when you're trading live, you know how to react, right? So for example, you know, we love to use bracket orders, which means when we put on an entry, we've got a bracket, a take profit attached to that entry order, and we've got a stop loss attached to that order, all right? Let's say, for example, you try to cancel a position and the market fills you, all right? And you know, what happens on our platform, if you try to cancel a position and you get filled, your entry will still be in place, but your take profit and stop loss will be removed. So you're effectively going to be in that position naked, I call it naked because you don't have any stop in it.
Ooh.
Right? And so, yeah, you're naked butt in that market. Right? And so in a situation like that, being able to reattach a stop loss, re-implement a stop loss, or even to flatten out the position, you should know how to do that before you ever put on a live trade, right? Because that one time that you do it in live, and that one time that happens and you don't know how to react, you know, that could be the big mistake that ends up leading you to chase the market to try to recover it back, right? So that is really the primary focus of simulated trading, is to really build your, I don't know if acumen is the right word to use for this, but to build your acumen with the platform, all right? Being able to navigate to and through, really get yourself in all those situations, and really the time you should come out of that demo environment is when you can say, all right, regardless of what the market throws at me, I know how to navigate through this on my platform.
That's awesome. And it's something super important I want to mention.
Sounds like it.
But I totally whiffed that memory. So it's so ironic that on the episode of mistakes, we're coming like back to back on these mistakes. Oh, I remember. So quick little tip, if you forget something, if it's something that you thought of as an image, if you go top left, you'll visual recall it very quickly. So I have, like, in the last little bit, a lot of people have been joining the industry, especially post-COVID, right, Mark? A lot of new traders or people at home are discovering the value and love for trading. And so a lot of people ask me, how long should I be in a simulated trading environment for? How long should I sim trade? And I thought of all these different witty, quick things to tell them, because I don't want to explain them too long, other than go listen to episode 16 or 17, whatever Mark said, is I tell them, until you can click on any part of your trading platform and nothing surprises you. Meaning, like, you know, just click stuff, and if the things are happening that you expect, you're ready. You're not testing your trading ability. You're testing the platform to the point that you're basically just getting to know the machine so you could use it for performance. You know, like even like race car drivers, you know, everyone simulates, which is great. But if you're not, if you don't have the certain knowledge of a live market, you're not really simulating anything that's useful, right? Especially at the beginning. So, I mean, listen to that episode for more. I don't want to go on a long-winded rant here, but if you click on anything in your platform and something surprising happens, you should still be in sim.
Yep. It was actually episode 16.
Wow.
Wow, your demo results.
You're good. You said 16 or 17, right?
I don't remember.
I don't know.
But I'm happy the grammar police isn't back. So that's, you know, that's one of the ways that you can prevent making some of the mistakes. Again, you're not going to be able to prevent them all, but you're going to give yourself the best chance at not making them by really having that understanding and experience of your platform. Like Georgie said, you know, you can just cancel out what I said and just listen to what he did on that part. As if you can press anything in your platform and it doesn't surprise you, perfect. You know, you've done the goal for demo. Now you can start applying stuff small in a live environment.
Quick question. 70 some odd podcast episodes in, have we ever had to edit one? Like to remove a mistake? I don't think we have. We just roll with it. Like, it's crazy. Like, you know, a lot of people listen to podcasts like, oh man, it's too much work to start one. Well, if you want it to be that way, it could be too much work. But we just sit here and we talk. And when somebody screws up, we just run with it. You know, there's opportunity. Nobody wants this perfect. Anyways, if you want to do a podcast, start a podcast. You know, we've never edited one episode. Kind of cool. Complete sidetrack. Back to you.
Yeah. Bit of a side. Yeah. I mean, you know what? Now that you said that.
We're going to edit this out?
No, we're not going to edit this out. But that's actually been the feedback that we've been getting. Is that people say they appreciate that we don't edit the stuff, you know, the mistakes out.
So, love it. It's real. It's raw. It's uncut. It's Mark and George. It's Mark and George. Mind over Mark.
I love it. So what's another strategy you can do to help prevent yourself from making mistakes? Well, if you recall what we mentioned about the common reasons that we make mistakes as humans, not just necessarily as traders, all right, mental fatigue. Or concentration, all right, little things like that. So the second thing you can really do to help yourself, to help prevent making mistakes, wow, it's like I'm learning English all over again, is maintaining your energy levels throughout the session, all right? And this starts before the session, all right? This starts the night before the trading session, right? So how do you maintain energy levels? Well, you know, really should come as no surprise, hydration.
Oh, I was going to say drugs.
Drugs.
Stimulants. Hydration. Sure. Yes.
There are some sort of stimulants and drugs you can do to maintain energy.
I'm in a goofy mood today. I actually have a lot of energy and sun's out. I feel great. So I'm sorry. Keep going.
I wish you guys can get this visual. He's Captain Morganing me here at the podcast station. Yeah, there it is. So proper hydration, number one. All right. Number two, nutrition. Comes without saying, what you put in your body is fuel. All right. If you eat bad fuel, you're going to feel the same way. All right. So make sure you fuel yourself with the right nutrition. You know, sleep. Again, I think the standard is 8 hours of sleep, whatever works for you. All right. I personally am in the neighborhood of 5 to 6. I feel that's my optimal time.
Now, is that something you've just done always, Mark, or is it something that it's part of your lifestyle now, like with 5 to 6 hours? Just curious.
It's probably part of my lifestyle. I feel like if I go longer than that, I feel more tired than not.
Have you ever tried to do a stretch where you like slept a full 8 hours just to recoup, like on a vacation kind of thing? Or
It will usually be like on a weekend, maybe. Like I'll be 5 to 6 hours throughout the week, and then, you know, Friday to Saturday morning, I'll probably rip like 8 to 10.
Interesting. Yeah. So I don't know. Like, we should do an episode. I'm going to pull some interesting study statistics for sleep, and we'll do one on like how sleep affects your performance. Yeah, and then relate that to trading. I won't do the spiel here, but it's actually really important. I looked at people like Donald Trump before he was president, and he was saying he sleeps like 3 hours a day. I'm like, man, I wish I could do that. And I tried to train myself to sleep less, because you automatically assume you could do more, but I was less productive with more hours.
Yeah,
it was insane. And these, like being a father now and not being able to sleep a full night in pretty much 8 months, because Isaiah is 8 months old, it's affected my performance. He's 8 months old. As a trader. I know, right? Time flies. It's affected my performance big time. So anyways, I just wanted to ask you about that, because that one gets overlooked, right? We all kind of...
Oh, 100%.
You know, it's easy to be like, I'm going to just spend another hour and sleep less, but it compounds.
I honestly think all of these things are overlooked. You know, hydration, nutrition, sleep, and the fourth one, you guys can guess, exercise. You know, it really goes a long way in preventing mistakes, because a majority of the mistakes that you will make will be due to, you know, fatigue. Not as often, could be to hunger. You know, you might be hangry, and dehydration. All right. So make sure you get proper sleep. Make sure your energy levels are kept up throughout the session. That is going to help you avoid making those sloppy mistakes. All right. Number three, see, there's no numbers. I don't know why I'm listing them as such, but monitor your mental capital meter and stop trading once you fall below your required criteria. All right. And so, you know, we've briefly touched on the topic of mental capital in prior episodes. There's no specific one I can give you, so I'm going to give you a summary of what mental capital is. All right, mental capital is simply your mental state, if you will, throughout the session. All right, so it's almost like a traffic light strategy, right? So what I mean by traffic light strategy is you'll have a green light, a yellow light, or amber, and a red light. All right. So green light would basically mean your mental capital is, you've got plenty of mental capital. You're feeling good. You're feeling energetic. You know, you might have, you know, you've got your morning routine done. Everything's good to go. You know, you're feeling optimistic. You're feeling energetic. You're ready to hit the day. That's a green light. You know, relating back to mental capital, your mental capital is at 100%. I'm good to go. I've got the green light to trade. This is where you are going to be, you know, trading, you know, your full size, you know, granted market conditions are giving you that kind of an opportunity. All right. The second one is basically the amber or the yellow light. All right. Which is basically caution. All right. That just means caution. So mental capital being at, say, you know, let's say 50 to 70% means that you're not 100% there, but you still have some mental capital in the gas tank. All right. And so what that means is, on a day like this, when your mental capital meter or your traffic light is yellow, you know, maybe you didn't get the best sleep last night. Maybe you didn't do your morning routine this morning, and, you know, something might be feeling off. You know, all of these little things, you know, play a huge role in your performance. And this stuff all starts before the session even does. Right. So that's basically a 50% or a yellow mental capital meter is, you're still good to trade, but, you know, you might be coming in with a little bit less sleep. Maybe you are, you know, slightly dehydrated. Maybe your mind is elsewhere. I don't know. Maybe you had an argument with a significant other. Hopefully that's not the case, or family. Whatever the case is, you know, that would be yellow. And what that simply means is caution. All right. So maybe on a daily basis, you're taking, if you're green light, you're saying, all right, I've got the green light. I'm going to be looking to take 5 trades today. You know, with a yellow light, you can cut that in half. You know, I'm looking to take maybe 2 trades today. I'm going to be cautious. I'm not going to be looking to be as active. That's what the yellow light means. That's what the 50% mental capital means. Red light is no bueno. All right.
No bueno.
Mental capital below 50%. You probably should not be trading on that day. All right. And this very seldom happens. You know, for myself, I can say for George too, because we're in the room basically every day. But there are some days. I don't remember the last one. Actually, I do remember the last one was probably March of last, I guess, of 2021. Was the last time I gave myself not even a red day. I gave myself a red like 2 weeks or so, right? Because I just wasn't feeling it. COVID was taking its toll on me, you know, from a mental perspective. And yeah, it wasn't a good place to be in. So I gave myself the red, and what that meant was I didn't trade. You know, I didn't trade for those couple of weeks, and I took the time to refocus on myself, get myself back into prime condition, and then hit the markets back again in April.
The way I look at mental capital, Mark, is like, I'm sure you agree with this because you experience it. It's like, what's the worst thing in the world? You like cozy up on the couch. I know it sounds good, right? But you cozy up on the couch. You got nothing to do. The evening's yours. Right? No calls, no meetings. You're just by yourself chilling. You pull out your laptop and you're like, I'm going to watch a movie, or I'm going to just check something on my laptop quickly. And you turn it on and it goes, bing, low battery, right? Like right when you need it most. So what options do you have when your battery is low on your laptop? You have option number one. If you don't have a charger available with you, all right, your option was really last night. You should have plugged it in the charger. Or even with like cell phones, wake up, it's like 10%, right?
Yep.
And it was literally beside you. You should have just plugged it in the charger. Either charge it or find a way to discharge it slower, right? Turn down your brightness. Turn down your computer processing power. You know, do some less power-hungry tasks. That's the way the mental capital works too. Is like, if you show up in the day with low mental capital, you can't perform at your high capacity for a long period of time because you don't have enough juice in the battery. Exactly. Right. And the best way to cope with that with mental capital is to charge it the day before. And, you know, I think that's my analogy. I'll share with you my tip, my visualization of mental capital and how it came about.
That's perfect. Really. And the next one here is you got to have a trading environment without distractions. All right. Distractions is not really the most common reason for mistakes, but I guess it is.
Yeah.
It's not, but it is. Right. And so we're not going to go too much on, you know, the trading environment, because we actually have an episode on how to build a high performance trading environment to minimize distractions.
It was a great episode. What number was that?
It was a great episode. And that one is episode number 27. And wow. I don't need a confirmation here because I did that pre-show. So that one for sure is episode number 27. And it really, really is important to build a trading environment where you minimize and, you know, ideally, completely mitigate distractions. Might not be possible to do it 100%, but the most you can do, you know, ideally you don't have any distractions vis-a-vis, you know, kids running around, I don't know, maybe pets, external noise, TVs, anything in the background making noise, anything that really can distract you. Ideally, that's not going to be in your trading environment. So we're not going to go too much on this, but you can check out episode 27 on how to build a high performance trading environment. You'll get a lot of great insight on that. All right, guys. So that basically wraps up the first of the two areas that you want to focus on to deal effectively with mistakes. And those are the preventative strategies. All right. So just to summarize them again, it's building up your execution skills by practicing and mastering your execution on your trading platform through a demo environment. Number two, maintaining your energy levels throughout the session through hydration, nutrition, sleep, and exercise. The next one, monitoring your mental capital meter. So making sure, you know, your traffic light is good to go. Your green light, you're good to go. You know, yellow, caution, red, stay away for the day. All right. And really the final one there is having a trading environment without any or many distractions.
And the last one is performance enhancing substances.
Sure. Okay. That's the last one.
Thank you. Thank you for giving me that one.
With like a double asterisk. With a double asterisk there. So now that we've covered the preventative strategy you guys can do, we're going to wrap this puppy up by looking at the recovery strategies for when you make those inevitable execution errors. All right. So first and foremost, what you want to do is accept it. All right. You've got to accept the fact that what has happened has happened. All right. And as effectively as possible, you have to do that. And really the best way to do it is to take full responsibility for the mistake. All right. Full responsibility, full accountability, whatever word you want to use, you just got to take ownership for that mistake. Whether you feel like it was your error or not, you're the one that caused it. All right. And that's the truth of, that's a matter of fact. Right. Only when you live at cause do you have the power to enact change. All right. So this kind of goes back to what we mentioned that new traders often do. Anytime a mistake happens, it's an external reason, right? It's fingers pointed out. It's my computer. You know, my dog made a noise. Whatever happened, you know, that was the reason for it. No, you're the one that executed it. It was you. And you have to take accountability for that. You have to be responsible for that. And really, without taking that first step, really the next couple of steps will not be possible. All right. So first and foremost, accept what has happened. It is what it is. A great quote that we've had several times on the podcast, most notably on the episode with AJ with regards to coming back from rock bottom. So it is what it is. That's a great little motto to go by. All right. And that's really the first step for the recovery process is to accept it. All right. How you can do that, all right, it might be a little bit difficult to just accept it, you know, especially if you haven't really done any, if you haven't shifted to living at cause already, it might be a little bit difficult. Here's kind of what steps you can take. Really the first steps you can take, if you're feeling stressed or even upset or frustrated about the mistake or the result of the mistake, all right, breathe, all right? Breathing is huge. You know, the more I'm learning about personal development, the more I'm starting to uncover the wormhole that is breathing, right? And so breathing is a huge, huge thing that you can do for yourself if you're feeling stressed or angry. And really the other thing you can do is just repeat some affirmations to yourself. You know, I am in control is a strong one that you can use, all right? And so here's a quick little breathing exercise you can do. Again, I didn't make this. It's curated. It's called the 4-7-8 breathing technique. You can do this sitting or standing, ideally not driving, right? So if you're feeling stressed or angry after making a mistake, you know, accept it, but also do this. You know, put a hand on your belly, the other hand on your chest, and then you take a deep, slow breath from your belly, and you silently count to 4 as you breathe in. Hold your breath, and then you silently count from 1 to 7, right? So the 4 is the inhale, the 1 to 7 is the breath hold, and then you breathe out completely as you silently count from 1 to 8, all right? Try to get all the air out of your lungs by the time you count to 8. And then you're going to repeat that a couple of times, you know, 3 to 7, or until you feel calm, all right? And so at that point, once you do the breathing, now you say, I am in control, all right? And so it might sound a little bit out there. It might sound a little woohoo, but you know, don't knock it till you try it. It could be the thing that changes your trading around. So that is really the easiest way to accept it is, you know, really take responsibility for the mistake. Do some breathing if you have to. Hit yourself with that affirmation, I am in control. Move on to the next step, which is to take the learning lesson from the mistake, all right? And then release it. Very, very simple. Take the learning lesson and release it.
For deep breathing, actually, this is an interesting thing here. That you know when somebody says, "Oh my God, call me," it's like, and you call them. What's the first thing you ask? What's wrong, right? Like, yeah. And I think when you say, "What's wrong? Are you okay?" You're just looking for them to say, "Yeah, I'm okay." That's what you do with breathing. You're telling your brain, "I'm okay." You're preventing it from taking a situation and escalating it to seem more dramatic than your reality really is. And so when you breathe, you're essentially telling your mind and your body, it's okay. We're not in danger. We're good. This is just money. We're not going to die. and it's all survival, right? And so that's why that this is so important, is for you to be able to control your breathing. It's a great way to turn off all fear, all negative emotion, and just exist in the present.
Beautiful. Yeah, it's a beautiful addition, right? So like I said, that the step after accepting it, taking full responsibility, is to take the learning lessons from it, extract those learning lessons from the mistake, and then release the mistake, you know, let it go. It might sound, again, a little bit outlandish. You know, some people, they even do the gesture physically, as if they're, you know, they're physically throwing that mistake away. And that kind of helps them release it from the mind, right? You don't want to anchor to that mistake, because if you're anchored to that mistake, you're going to be anchored to the emotions of that mistake. And then that is what's going to drive, you know, your future actions.
You know, it's cool. I got a chance to meet Les Brown. You know Les Brown, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was chatting with him, oddly enough, in his hotel room. We met him before my wife, before a talk he was doing. And then we got the sit VIP. It's kind of cool. Les Brown's amazing.
Sounds like a VIP experience there.
Yeah, and I wished him good health, because he had some stuff going on. I'm like, hey, Les, like, you know, I'm sending you positive vibes. Wish you good health. He looked at me and he goes, I accept that. You know, it's so cool. It's like, you know, you're acknowledging that you have control over what to accept and reject,
yeah.
Right? And so that throwing your hands away type of thing, it's you telling yourself, your body, your subconscious, I'm rejecting this. You don't have to accept everything you hear.
Exactly.
So that's kind of cool. I just want to share that. Les Brown's a legend. I love that guy. You guys should check him out. Listen to this stuff. He's got some powerful talks.
There you go. All right. And so really the final thing, once you've made the mistake, you've accepted you've made the mistake, you've taken the learning lessons from the mistake, and you've released the mistake, the final thing that you can do is to rehearse successful execution, right? By imagining what you would do should the same situation happen in the future, and affirm to yourself, this is what I will do.
Love it.
Some insight there. All right. So really, to summarize the recovery strategies when making errors, it's really all about being calm, collected, and, you know, there is a piece of resilience you also got to have as well, right? So just to summarize the recovery strategies, accept it, all right? Number two, learn the lesson and release it. And number three, rehearse it, all right? Next time this happens, this is how I'm going to act going forward. Or if this happens again, this is how I'm going to act forward. And you affirm that to yourself by saying, this is what I will do. All right, guys. So that in and of itself.
I had a good quote.
Go ahead.
Mistakes have the power to turn you into something better than you were before. Another one. When you make a mistake, there are only three things you should ever do about it. Admit it, learn from it, and don't repeat it. But you know what? That's kind of it's a funny quote. I just pulled these off Google.
So he's getting quotey.
I thought some quotes here would help. You know, Mark, I don't know how you were going to wrap it up. I'll just give you my last tidbit, and then I'll hush up for the end to this. But the thing about mistakes is we're not trying to avoid them. I don't think anyone ever avoids mistakes, no matter how seasoned of a trader you are. I've been trading since 2001 is when I started, and I make mistakes every single day. All right. It isn't that we're avoiding mistakes. We're learning how to deal with them, and we're learning how to make a mistake a tool for progress, a tool for continued success. Because if you're not making any mistakes, it isn't that you're perfect. It's that what you're doing is impermanent. It's not going to last forever because you're not going to change. And when change comes about and you're not prepared, you know, that's everyone's definition of perfection is, you don't make any mistakes. But if you're not making mistakes, you're not growing, you're not adapting, you're not going to be the version of yourself in the future that's successful. If you're not making mistakes in the version of yourself you are now, that's just it's part of my fabric, the fabric of George. Deep belief. And I love mistakes. I used to try to avoid them. But if you have an issue with making mistakes, it isn't an issue with making mistakes, the issue with recognizing them, which could be an ego situation, which then you just listen to episode number one, start from the beginning of this podcast, with the subconscious and how it works for you or against you. That's what I got. This was fun to record. Over to you, Marky.
Beautiful. I'm going to throw it. I'm going to wrap this up with two quotes that I found. All right. First quote here is, there is nothing wrong with making mistakes, but one should always make new ones. Repeating mistakes is a hallmark of dim consciousness.
Wow.
Wow.
Your one quote just blew my two out of the water.
Well, get ready for the next one.
Oh, here we go.
This one's not as long. It's a bit shorter, but to the point. I love it. a person who makes few mistakes makes little progress. And that is your food for thought as we wrap up this episode. So I appreciate you guys, all of the trade pros out there. You know, this is season two. I think the third episode of season two. Hopefully you guys are enjoying the new format. Please do let us know if that is the case. You know, obviously we want to provide as much value for you guys as possible while still keeping these things within a good time range, I feel. So if you guys can think of one person you feel may particularly enjoy this episode, this topic, please, please share it with them. You know, the way you guys can pay it forward is to share this episode with your friends, your colleagues. And also, if you have the chance to, we'd really appreciate jumping on iTunes, leaving us a rating and review. That will really, really help us put this podcast in front of an audience like yourselves. Till next time, everyone, good luck and good trading. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the Mind Over Market podcast. You can find us at tradeproacademy.com.